The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 12 minutes past 10 o'clock. Our guest in the studio today is Melissa Stirrett. She's the parent educator for the Huron Intermediate School District. We're going to be talking about a program she's got coming up next month, Darkness to Light, Stewards of Children. It has to do with trying to prevent child abuse, sexual child abuse, and also gives the parents the keys they need to maybe spotting something early or how to prevent it from ever being a situation your children would have to face. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Craig. Darkness to Light, Stewards of Children is a workshop that I facilitate. I was trained about a year ago, and this program is a prevention, education, and awareness program for parents, community members, teachers, coaches, anybody who has any contact with children.
And you were telling me a little bit before we got on the air here that it isn't the stranger you have to worry about as much. I mean, you need to be concerned with your kids and strangers, but most of the activity in this regard is someone that you or the child knows.
It is, absolutely. A significant percentage of children are reported as being victims of sexual abuse. And so when I say significant, I mean 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys, by the time that they reach 18 years old, will be a victim of some sort of sexual abuse or sexual assault. That's pretty significant when we think about those numbers. Depending on where you get the statistics, and I'm actually going to read where I'm getting this statistic from, the U.S. Department of Justice in August of 2008 had a report from the National Incident Studies of Missing, Abducted, Runaway, and Thrown Away Children. It was reported that children are sexually abused by someone they know or someone they are related to 81% of the time. Other statistics actually have that at a higher number, almost 90%. So our children are not being sexually abused by the stranger in the park or the creepy guy in a trench coat that pulls up on the edge of the sidewalk. Our children are being sexually abused by friends, family members, acquaintances, people that they know and people that they trust and people that are in caregiving roles.
Is there a, we all think of child sexual abuse and we think of, but it doesn't have to be the full act. I mean, it's, you know, there's lesser degrees of this that's still sexual abuse.
Yep. Any sort of.
Is there any definition to what constitutes child sexual abuse, or is it more of a gray area that determines on the factors of what happened?
No, depending on which studies you look at, they're going to call it child sexual abuse or child sexual assault. And so they break it into different categories according to what was done to the child. Penetration or touching or making them view pornography, or having a child just watch you with no clothes on. So there are different degrees of child sexual abuse. All of it is still harmful. And so, you know,
because children at this point aren't ready. I mean, we all know that part of it, but I mean, they're still getting their own identity, and now you're throwing all of this into the mix that's just confusing them more.
Absolutely. Confusion is a big one. Yeah, makes them question things. They will have some trust issues after that. They're not sure what is safe and what isn't safe. And so, you know, for a long time, we always taught children, be responsible for your own body, just say no, stranger danger. And Darkness to Light takes a different approach. Darkness to Light really turns the attention back to the adults that are the responsible for these children. It's a adult's responsibility to keep a child safe. It's not a child's job to keep themselves safe. I mean, we buckle them in the car seat to keep them safe. We keep poisons out of reach to keep them safe. So who thought that it was a child's job to stop sexual abuse from happening to them really didn't have it right all the time. We really have to make adults and parents and grandparents and other people who have contact with children the responsible party.
With the people you're talking about mostly being the perpetrators, it seems like this would be, you know, almost an impossible task. How do you know a person is going to do this?
Well, you don't always know that. During the workshop, the Darkness to Light workshop, it takes about 3 hours. It's a pretty intensive workshop. You will learn all of the signs to look for, the characteristics of people to watch for. It prepares you for dealing with child sexual abuse.
Because it sounds like a lot of the perpetrators are the people you often rely on, especially if you're you know, you work and you've got to have somebody take care of the kids after school and all of this. It's just like, you know, oh, I don't want to leave them with strangers. I'll leave them with family. That feels safer. But it sounds like in this instance, not necessarily so.
Right. One thing that we talk about in Darkness to Light is we don't want you to be paranoid parents, being suspicious of everyone, but you need to be diligent. You need to be aware, and you need to be questioning things. There are 7 steps to the Darkness to Light program. So in these 7 steps, it talks about different things that parents can do. And one of them is being cautious about who you're leaving your children with. And if you do have to leave your children with people, there are things that you can do to ensure their safety. So the workshop really goes over a lot of those things that parents can do so they don't have to feel helpless or overwhelmed or think that this is an impossible task to protect my children because, you know, I have to work and I can't always be with my children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Do the parents need to be careful around their children that they don't see their parents as almost afraid of everybody who's coming in contact with them? Because kids are, they pick up on a lot of things, and it seems like that might give them the feeling, I can't trust anybody.
Well, like I said, I don't think we want to act paranoid, but we need to act careful, and we need to instill in our children a healthy fear of things that are going to give them like an uh-oh feeling in their stomach or make them feel uncomfortable.
You teach them to be afraid to go near the water.
Right.
Because you don't want them to drown. This is just a different aspect of a danger. You have to teach them the proper respect.
Yep. And there are programs in the schools that do talk to the children about keeping themselves safe. And so if we talk about teaching the parents how to keep their children safe and we talk about teaching the children how to keep themselves safe, hopefully with those, you know, with those programs working hand in hand, these statistics will start going down.
Are they going up? I mean, is it a case where it's being reported more today because our society gets more of this into the open rather than the old days when it was a family secret we didn't talk about?
You know, the U.S. Department of Justice still believes that child sexual abuse is absolutely underreported because there is a stigma attached with child sexual abuse. We don't want people to know this happens in our family. We don't want to put, you know, Grandpa Joe in jail because he touches, you know, the kids at Christmas. And so I wouldn't say that it necessarily happens more. I just think that we're more aware of it now. Statistics are staying pretty steady, actually. Darkness to Light is a newer program, and so we're hoping that with this national accredited program and other programs in other communities, we really need to start addressing this issue and stop pretending it doesn't happen here, stop pretending it won't happen in a small town, because, you know, we watch the news, we hear about this happening all over every day. So that's making people more aware of the issue. So I'm not so sure it's happening more. I just think that maybe we're talking about it more.
Which is the only way to solve it.
Absolutely.
Is to get it in the light and see it for what it is and deal with it.
Yes, and which is why Darkness to Light takes that awareness approach. So step one of the 7 steps to reducing child sexual abuse is learning the facts and understanding what the risks are for children. So reality, not trust, should influence your decision regarding your children. And so when we talk about children being abused by relatives and acquaintances, people that they know, people that they trust, we teach in the Darkness to Light program what those statistics are. One of the most shocking to me when I teach the class, and I've taught 6 so far in Huron County, is that you can have a serial child molester or a serial rapist who can have up to 400 victims in their lifetime. So they're not just going to go after 1 or 2 children. This is going to be something that happens over and over and over again. In the Darkness to Light program, one of the videos that we actually use during the program features a lady who used to be Miss America back in, I believe it was the 1940s. She was very famous and spoke about being the victim of incest. Her father raped her from when she was a small toddler until she was an adult, until she left the house. And he had hundreds of victims, she later discloses. And even into his 70s, he still continued to sexually abuse children. So we're not talking about a one-time instance. This is something, you know, if this is a true illness and this person isn't stopped, they can go on to harm lots and lots and lots of children. So we talk about that in the class because people need to hear those statistics in order to be shocked enough to want to do something to change them.
Do we get into a little bit of a false sense of security in a smaller town area like this, rather than the big cities where you usually hear about these types of things happening? Do we lull ourselves into thinking, it's not going to happen around here?
Well, I would say that it does happen here. We can read the newspaper. We can listen to media. We have coaches who have been accused of things. We have other people, family members who have been tried and convicted and have been put in prison for molestation or child abuse or criminal sexual conduct, whatever title you want to give it. So it does happen here. I'm not, going to stand here and name names of specific cases. But it does. It happens in Heron County. We have that data. Unfortunately, when we talk about, Department of Human Services data with child abuse numbers, children who are victims of sexual abuse don't always have to go through Department of Human Services for their case. If somebody is abusing a child that is not a family member, Department of Human Services won't have that information. It becomes a legal issue at that point. Or if they're not disclosing until they're teenagers or adults. So those statistics actually funnel through several different areas. So we can't just look at one resource for a good statistic on, is it happening in Huron County? We just need to look at the broader picture, and the broader picture is it is happening everywhere. So I want to go on to step two of the seven steps. Step two is minimizing the opportunity. So we talked about really minimizing that one child, one adult situation. So during the workshop, we talk about times, there are going to be times when your child is going to be in a one adult, one child situation, such as maybe some private lessons that they're taking, or, if they're getting tutored after school with one person. So in the workshop, we talk about what parents can do to kind of ensure a child safety when they have to be in a one child, one adult situation. But for the most part, we really want to make sure that one child, one adult situations are not happening. We need to get away from that.
And since you were talking, a lot of times it's a family member, this could happen at a big family event. If somebody gets, I have to go to the bathroom. Well, I'll take them. You're alone, one-on-one.
Correct.
And it's as simple as that.
Yes. There actually are some other statistics, and I'm not sure if I brought them with me today. But it talks about the number of children who are actually abused in their home or in the home of somebody else. And abuse, 55% of the time, takes place in a home, either their own home or a home of a friend or a relative. So over half of the time.
Places where they'll feel safer.
Yeah, because that's what the perpetrator is counting on. They want the child to feel safe. They want the child to be calm. Because if you have a scared child, they're more apt to tell. And so somebody, perpetrator, predator, whatever we want to call them, they're going to take very specific steps to groom a child before they actually start physically or sexually abusing them. It's not going to be like the first time you meet a relative, they're just going to start molesting your child. It's going to take some time to form a relationship. They want to have a really strong bond with that child. They want to have a friendship with that child. They want to be in that trusting relationship or role with that child. They want to gain your trust as a parent, so you're more apt to leave that child with them. Oftentimes, if you have older children, preteens and teenagers, you'll have perpetrators or predators who actually give children very lavish gifts to start grooming them. So that internal uh-oh feeling starts to go away, or they feel guilty. Like, I can't tell this person, no, look at all these amazing things that he or she has bought for me. So in the Darkness to Light workshop, we really talk about what a parent can watch for. What we as community members need to watch for when people start grooming our children.
And there are things to watch for. Some people are just nice and will buy you something. You know what I mean?
It goes back to let's not be paranoid.
You want to label somebody right off the bat, but if it continues and there's no apparent reason for it, then flags should start going up and whistles should be blowing. There's something not quite right here.
Right. And one of the other ones that we talk about in the Darkness to Light program during the workshop is... something that we need to be kind of suspicious of is somebody who wants to spend more time with your child than you do. Sometimes as a single mom or a single dad, you just need a break. You're overwhelmed with all of the responsibilities that you have and you're parenting alone, and somebody will come along and say, well, I'll watch, your son or daughter for you. And they're doing it excessively. They're doing it, a lot. So one of the things that we talk about is if somebody wants to be around your child more than you want to be around your child, that's sort of a not a glowing red flag, but it is something that we need to be aware of.
Is there a day's parents? I don't want to be around them.
Being a parent is very stressful. It is. And we do need breaks. And we need to be able to take a break. It's healthy for parents to take a break away from their children. We just need to make sure that we have safe and caring people taking care of our children for us, and not sexual predators. So I'm going to go on to step three. Step three encourages us to actually talk about the issue. So I'm thankful that I'm on the radio today. There's been a couple newspaper articles, and as I said before, I've done a training in Huron County now. Coming up in April, I have a training, and that will be training number 7. And so I've trained over 215 people on the darkness to light concepts. And the feedback that we get from those people is absolutely amazing. We give an evaluation, and so they usually leave me comments at the end. And overwhelmingly, the time that they take to write these comments will say, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for the presentation. Learned things I didn't know. Everyone should take this class, you know. And so, you know, we do have a class coming up at Lakers in April on... Got to flip my paper here. Tuesday, April 17th, from 5 to 8:30 is our next Darkness to Light workshop. It'll be at Laker Elementary School. Thankfully, the Huron County CAN Council, which is the Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Council, funds me to do these programs. And so we provide parents and community members with dinner before the presentation. So from 5 to 5:30, we'll be serving dinner. And then 5:30 to 8:30 is the presentation. And we also provide on-site child care. And because we do the Darkness to Light workshop, we are screening our individuals. The children are never left in one caregiver, one child situations. So we're putting our own practice what we preach when we provide child care for the workshop. And so anybody in the community can sign up for that workshop. Again, it's Tuesday, April 17th from 5 to 8:30 at Laker Elementary School. And you can call Shirley at the HISD to register. And her phone number is 989-269-6406. And so we just ask that you pre-register so we make sure we have enough caregivers and enough food on hand for everyone. But you will definitely walk away with some amazing information that you will use if you come into contact with children at all.
Step three encourages talking about the issue. Does that include talking to your children about the issue? And what do you say to them at what age? Because you don't want to necessarily frighten them to where their whole life they feel in fear, because you want them to grow up and have, you know, and explore the world and do all the things you hope them to do. And there's certain ages they aren't going to understand as much as others. So is that all specific as to the age of your child? And how do you deal with that?
It is. It is very specific to the age of your child. In the workshop, we do talk about words that you should use with your children, when it's a good time to talk to your children about it. The video series that goes along with Darkness to Light, I actually show a video during the presentation, has clips from like school psychologists and psychiatrists that give you really good words to use with your children. So even if you come to the workshop and you are just totally blown away, I don't know how to talk to my children about this, after the workshop, it will give you some really good tools to use in talking with your children, because we do need to be talking to our children about this, but the responsibility can't be on them alone.
Are there things to look out for? I mean, you know, say you're getting the kid ready for bed and you give him a hug goodnight and they kind of squirm and want to get away, you know. Is that a sign, or is that just because you didn't give them cake, an extra piece of cake at dinner, and they're still mad at you?
Well, it could be both.
You know, are there things you should be looking for that, you know, if they persist, that maybe we need to look further into this?
Definitely. During the Darkness to Light workshop, we talk about that the physical signs of child sexual abuse are not always going to be there. It's not like someone's punching you and they're leaving a bruise. With child sexual abuse, the areas where the abuse is occurring are not areas that we as parents necessarily look at on our children on a daily basis. And so there's not always going to be those physical signs. With children of sexual abuse, it's going to be more of an emotional issue or a behavioral issue. And so I'm going to use the Penn State issue as just an example. I remember reading an article about how one of the boys who was going with the coach kept telling his mom, I don't want to go anymore. And mom was like, what do you mean you don't want to go anymore? You're getting all these free tickets and it's so much fun. And so he started to act poorly right before he would have to go away, because he was hoping to get punished so he didn't have to go with this person, because he didn't know how to say something bad is happening to me.
He couldn't verbalize what the real problem was.
Yes, and so he was kind of deflecting it to something else. He was trying to get himself into trouble so he wouldn't be permitted to go and have fun with this person. So those are things as parents that we talk about in the Darkness to Light workshop that we can watch for. There's going to be some signs, sometimes subtle, and sometimes there are no signs at all, which is why it's important to actually prevent it from happening. It's better to be proactive than reactive.
And we talked about, you know, it's, you know, mostly happens in either your home or somebody else's home. It isn't necessarily a family member. We have a lot of single parent families that have live-in boyfriends or whatever, and you see, hear a lot in the news that that's where it happens. And parents, you know, they aren't really, you know, able to screen, you know, get a police report as to this person's criminal history to see if they have a background of it. And people who are predisposed to this type of behavior would be looking for people who have small children.
Right. Yeah. A predator is going to look for easy prey. And so Darkness to Light actually says one of the statistics, if you are a child of parents who are not married, your risk for child sexual abuse is so much higher than every other child. Even if you have contact with both of your parents, even if you're one of those kids that visits mom and dad on a regular basis, but if your parents are living apart and you are living with just one parent, the statistics will show that those are the children who are most often sexually abused. And we have a lot of single parent households. We have a lot of times where even if mom and dad are still married, dad may have to go out of town for work. I mean, that's the reality of the economy right now. And so at times when we don't have mom and dad around being very diligent, those are the times when predators easily slip in with the disguise of being a friend or being a relative or being an acquaintance, somebody who cares about you and cares about your children and want to help you out. So again, let's not be paranoid. Let's just be cautious.
Are there things that the parent should look for in this instance? If the person's, you know, paying more attention to the children than they are to your relationship, I mean, at that point, you know, some people might think, oh, he's going to be a good father. Well, maybe not.
Right.
I mean, are there things you're going to be helping the people look at, you know, in their lives to see if there are things they need to question?
Well, and that's why the Darkness to Light workshop is a 3-hour workshop, because we can't cover this in just a half an hour or an hour. It's really that we need to, you know, we really need to dig into this information. We really need to have a good conversation and get the information during the workshop. So I'm not trying to not answer the question, mm-hmm. but it's really complex. And so if parents are concerned, I would encourage them to come to a Darkness to Light workshop or go on to the Darkness to Light website and get some more information. And that website is just D2L.org. So D2L.org. And they can find some of that information and some of those tools that they can use. And I know this morning they actually had something on there, how to look for a good caregiver for your children and things to ask for when you are screening people, because summer is coming up and some of us are going to be looking for babysitters for our children for the summer because they're not going to be in school. And so it gives you some really good questions to ask somebody when you screen someone that this person is going to be taking care of your children.
And check the references.
Yes, check your references.
Them, just check them, because anybody can write down anything, and if nobody checks it, how many times we hear stories of people who are college professors who have never graduated high school because nobody checked their resume when
you
they came
You can get
in.
Police reports, you know, you can get criminal background checks done. That person can go to the courthouse and get that done. You check references. That isn't the only thing that you should be doing, but those are some important things that you can do. So step 4 is, out of the 7, is just to stay alert. So don't expect obvious signs when your child's being abused. And so this workshop's going to help you to do that. Stay alert with your child, stay alert and on your toes with people who want to be around your children and who is around your children.
These children are tricky. I mean, they're constantly growing and evolving changes is what childhood's all about. But you have to look for positive or negative changes, I guess, to see if there's a problem.
Sure. Sure. And step five, which is an important one that I really want to touch on today, is that you need to make a plan. And so you need to learn where to go, who to call, and how to react. And so the workshop really talks about how to react if you are the parent of a child who discloses to you that they have been abused. You could be a teacher or work at a church or just be a trusted adult, and you may be the first person a child comes to say, you know what, you're an adult I trust, I have a secret to tell you. And so during this workshop, we give you the right words to say and the right things to do in order to handle that situation, because it can be a very, very scary, horrible situation to be in.
There are certain professions that are required by law to disclose this to the police.
Yes.
They hear it, the teachers and doctors and such. But some of the other people may fall through the crack in this law, and it's important to not just have it end with you.
Correct. In the state of Michigan, anyone can call and report a suspicion of child abuse. So I just want to say that again. Anybody can call for a suspicion of child abuse. You don't have to be a detective. You don't have to be able to prove that the abuse is happening. It's not your job to gather evidence. It's not your job to gather specific information. If you are suspicious, that is the time to make a call. And actually, beginning at the beginning of this month, there is a new number that the state of Michigan has. It's a centralized number for people to be able to call and report child abuse and neglect, all child abuse and neglect, not just sexual abuse. And so that number is 1-855-444-3911. And the Department of Human Services did this. It's a central intake number. So you're calling one number no matter where you are in the state of Michigan, and they're going to be the ones that handle and filter the calls that go back to the local level for investigation. And DHS wants you to know that it only takes one number, one call, and one person to make a difference in the life of a child. And when you have children who are being sexually abused, you can call the police and make a police report also. You don't have to just call Department of Human Services, Child Protective Services. You know, get the police involved. Make sure that the child's safe first. Make sure that you've done the job that you needed to do with comforting them and to taking down the information that they're disclosing to you. But then you need to be responsible for turning that over to somebody who can actually keep that child safe from whoever is harming them. So again, that phone number for central intake for Department of Human Services is 1-855-444-3911. And they will take a child abuse complaint 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So someone will always answer that phone and take that information.
What kind of information are you going to need to give me? You're going to have an address for the child?
You're going to want to give them as much information as you can, yes.
Because they need a starting place.
Correct. But you're not always going to know who the perpetrator is. Say you're taking care of a child who's nonverbal, or if they're a baby and they have some symptoms. You may not even know who's doing the abuse. You don't have to know that. You don't have to know who's abusing the child. So some of the information that you should have is the child's name, their address, maybe a parent's name if you have it. As much information as you can gather. If a child starts to disclose to you that they're being sexually abused, you should not ask leading questions. You should just make sure that you're letting them tell their story in a way that they are telling it, where you're not putting ideas into their mind. It's good to take notes after the fact, like immediately afterwards, write things down that you remember were key. Use that in your report as well. And so in the Darkness to Light workshop, we teach you what a leading question is versus a non-leading question, and actually how to handle a situation if a child says to you, I've been abused, or how to make that phone call to Child Protective Services.
And it's not just sexual abuse, any kind of abuse. If it's physical.
Correct. Yep. That number is for all kinds
types
of abuse.
All types of abuse.
Yes.
The quicker you get some action, the sooner it can stop.
Yes, yes. So step six out of the seven is act on your suspicions, because you need to remember that the future well-being of a child is at stake. So like I said before, you don't have to be able to prove it. You're not the detective. You just need to act on your suspicions. And then step seven in our last one today is get involved. You need to get involved to prevent child sexual abuse, because this is an adult issue. This is not necessarily that a child is going to be able to take care of this themselves. So volunteer and financially support organizations that believe in reducing child abuse and neglect. We have the Heron County CAN Council, and they are very open to prevention programs for children. They've made it a priority to educate the community about preventing child sexual abuse. So they're funding this program. They're the ones that, you know, sponsor the free event for parents to come to with the dinner and the free childcare, really trying to break down those barriers so parents don't have to worry about making dinner that night. They don't have to worry about finding a babysitter that night. Just come, get the information, go through the workshop, and you know, I promise it's not a waste of time, and you will get amazing information that you didn't know. So again, get involved in organizations that really look out for the well-being of children. So again, I just want to say that the next Darkness to Light workshop will be held on Tuesday, April 17th from 5 to 8:30 at Laker Elementary. Even though it's at Lakers, it's open to anyone in the community. So dinner's going to be from 5 to 5:30. Presentation will start at 5:30 and go till 8:30. And you need to call Shirley Miller at the HISD to register. And that's phone number is 989-269-6406. If you're interested in having your own Darkness to Light workshop, say you work in an organization such as a specific school or a church or a daycare center, and can't get all of your staff to come to one of the free sessions, I am available to give this presentation in other venues. You just need to contact me and we can schedule something. I'm happy to report that working for the HISD, all of their staff have been trained in the Darkness to Light. So that includes the Tech Center staff, the Learning Center staff, and all of the HISD staff. So, you know, the information is getting out there. We just need to get it out there better. So my phone number is 269-3489 if anyone's interested in learning a little bit more about Darkness to Light.
We were talking a little bit before the show, and I had asked the question, in adults, usually a sexual assault is more of a power thing. The sexual is just how you achieve the power over someone else. Is it the same with children? Is it more of a thing with the perpetrator having power over the children? That's why some can molest both boys and girls.
It is. Yep. I think that the workshop will touch a little bit on that. But just do your research. Read the Darkness to Light website. We'll have a lot of information on there. It is about power. And, you know, just because you have, you know, this person molesting this one child, we need to remember that it's not just going to happen to one child in most cases. This person is going to go on to molest other children.
Are perpetrators usually somewhat age specific, whether they're looking at young kids, if they're looking at teens, or do they just run the gamut of what they can get?
You know what? I'm not exactly sure how to answer that. I don't know what the statistics say, but I would say that as a predator, they're going to go after prey that's less likely to talk about it, less likely to tell them no. And so they're going to go after an age group that they can get that control over, whether it be a small child who can't talk about it or who won't talk about it, or to a teenager that they can shame and humiliate into performing acts that are sexual in nature, but that are still illegal. Nowadays with social media, I have heard that predators are, you know, having relationships with teenagers and then threatening, you know, if you go to someone and tell on me, I'm going to put it on Facebook. And the teenagers or preteens are so involved in this social media that they don't think that they'll ever survive the humiliation. So those are the ones that don't tell. And so we need to make it we need to have that relationship with our children that it is okay to come and tell me when something like this happens, but it's also okay to say no. Something else, Craig, that I want you to keep in mind is that when you have a child who's a victim of child sexual abuse, if they're very young or even teenagers, it's not always scary and bad to the child, because if it's taken this person so long to groom a child and to form this relationship with the child, they have formed a bond and a relationship with your child. And so your child is not always going to feel uncomfortable or pain. And so we also need to keep that in mind, that we can say to children, just say no when somebody wants to touch your body in a bad way, but it's not always a bad way. Sometimes children can't differentiate between a good touch and a bad touch and what feels good and what doesn't, which is why we need to be even more diligent as adults in taking care of them instead of leaving it up to them to say no.
Bottom line, parents are the first line of defense.
They are, parents and other adults in the community.
But it really comes back to the parent. They take the lead on as to who is involved with their child, how the child interacts with other people. And if something happens, it's something that can affect the kids for the rest of their lives, how they have relations with other people. It can diminish, you know, having a good, loving relationship in the future that works.
All of these things can happen. It's very, very psychologically damaging to a child to go through child sexual abuse, to be a survivor of child sexual abuse. Will affect them for the rest of their life. And you will see, if you come to a Darkness to Light workshop, the video presentation are actually adult survivors of child sexual abuse that put the workshop on over a video. All adults, and all are still deeply affected by what happened to them as children.
Still see the scars.
Absolutely.
And can you give them again the number to call if they want to register for the program and when it'll be?
Sure. So again, the program's Tuesday, April 17th at Lakers, and you can call Shirley at the HISD at 269-6406. Or if you ever have any questions about the Darkness to Light program or child sexual abuse, you can call me, Melissa Sturt, parent educator at the HISD, and my phone number is 269-3489.
And the program has a website. I'm sure if you Google Darkness to Light, it'll take you right there, and you can get more information prior to going to your program next month.
Yes. So thank you very much for having me here today.
Thanks for being with us. Our guest today on the program has been Melissa Sturt, parent educator for the Huron Intermediate School District. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.